Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious. But I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So. What?
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the kick square.
Hello.
And welcome to the best of Don and Mike. 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Artinger here. The legendary Joe Artinger with you on this beautiful Friday. At least it's Friday. Of course it's Friday in Washington. It's beautiful in Washington. I don't know how it is down in Florida. For all you people down there, there's a hurricane coming your way. But that's not important right now. What's important is that Don and Mike are on vacation, and we've got lots and lots and lots a best of for you in store. And today, my plate is overflowing. It's a big old rack of brontosaurus ribs of Don and Mike best of for you to listen to. And I'm going to listen to, too, because I love it. Now, let's get into it. These are always good ones. When back when Bart was in high school and Don would go to his back-to-school nights, well, nobody has quite as good a time as Don at Bart's back to school nights. It's the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Listen, I want to thank you guys yesterday. You were nice enough when we went to the bowling place that I was able to do the Elvis treatment. I walked in, the guy measured my fingers for the ball, I picked out the ball in my shoes, and I left.
Right.
Because I had to get right to back to school night.
I know that's a night that you look forward to.
Well, you know, now that my kid is in 11th grade.
Wow. Right.
Back to school night is becoming less of the chore that it's been in the past. I mean, every year you hear me come on and talk about, especially when he was a little kid, you know, having to squeeze the giant adult-sized ass into the small plastic chair.
Right.
Well, now that he is, he's a junior in high school, and as a matter of fact, he's had some colleges approach him about, just going right to college.
Skipping his senior year?
Yeah, like next year.
Wow.
Not an effing chance we're going to let that happen.
Well, it's fun for him, too.
But, It's a different experience on the back to school night with my kid in high school. I'm lost. I mean, in previous years, as you go through this, and you'll find this with your kids, Mike. When
right.
your kids are little, you go and it's fun because you see pictures that they've drawn. And then when my kid got to junior high school, the teachers thought it would be fun, like in algebra. I know I brought in little mini tests that they gave to the parents for fun to find out how smart the parents were.
Yes, they quiz you.
Last night when Frieda and I went to back to school night at my kid's school, thank God they offered no tests or quizzes.
Good.
But we both sat there like morons. My son is taking a class called Humanities English.
Okay. What is you know, it's tough when you don't know what the title of the class is.
It is a combination of English and history.
Okay.
It's a combination. Here are the books that they're reading.
All right.
On this semester, introduction, course requirements, essay assignment. First, they're reading Homer, the Iliad.
Okay.
Then they read Homer, the Odyssey.
Those are classic literature.
Then they are reading Beowulf. Then they are
Beowulf.
Yes, thank you. I thought it was Baywatch. I'm sitting there like I'm such a freaking idiot. Then Hamlet. They're going to be reading Hamlet. Dante, the Divine Comedy. Hamlet, and goddamn Hamlet. Damn him.
You mean Shakespeare or Hamlet himself?
Hamlet, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, Act 4, Act 5, Act... The whole... Look at this thing.
Right. Yes.
The Renaissance, the rebirth of humanicism. Humanicism.
I don't know how to pronounce it. What?
No.
Spell it. H-U-M-A-N, humanism.
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 Right.
So I'm reading this stuff. I mean, look, my God, late homework will not be accepted. Remember, if you're at school on the day, your essay is due, even if you're not in class, you must turn in the essay. Except in the case of unavoidable absence, such as illness or emergency, students must be present on day of test. Missing school on test days is to be avoided. Oral presentations lower 2 letter grades per day, as presentations will be figured into lesson planning for the day. So I'm going through all this.
Wow, that's a hell of a class right there.
Now, here you go. Here's what my kid's working on right now. 11th grade, humanities class. Know thyself. There are several fundamental philosophical questions which guide this course. The artists, philosophers, poets,
theologians,
and politicians of each age give different answers. It is our goal to help you understand them so that you may better understand your culture and yourself. Now, I'm sitting in the class last night. I'm already drawing pictures while she's reading just this first paragraph.
Right.
I'm thinking, how could my kid possibly sit there and absorb this stuff? Question one. What is the cosmetology? How is the natural universe ordered or designed?
Cosmetology? You mean this is cosmology?
Cosmology.
Because
I'm so stupid.
Cosmetology would be
no
beauty
there.
School.
There's no T there. Cosmology.
All right.
How is the natural universe ordered or designed? And of what is it composed? What is the central theology or mythology? What is the difference? What is the nature of man?
Well, yeah, philosophy.
Mm. Does he have a soul?
It's a stressful thing.
No. I get the feeling the teachers, especially now that my kid's in high school,
yeah,
the teachers love the fact that they know that the kids are smarter than the parents. The teachers, there is an under...
See, that's interesting. Your son's a lot older than Mike.
There is an underlying feeling, and I'm not just saying this because of the way I felt. I was looking at these captains of industry sitting around the room with the same dumb expression on their face as me.
It is an intimidating environment.
Always very awkward. They ask all of them about their jobs or about current events. I would get this a lot. So, what do you think about the new Survivor? I get that a lot.
They're trying to bring it down to a level.
Yeah, or I get, do you like The Weakest Link? I love The Weakest Link. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Tony Soprano, you realize that, don't you?
Well, I don't kill people.
next year, or 2 years from now, when Bart goes to Columbia, they're going to be hitting you up for money, just like they did with Tony.
Oh, listen, they're already doing that at my kid's school now.
Do you think your perceived, I won't say we're, because I mean, but you know, we have similar experiences with this. Do you think that's the perception? That it would be the same way people act if there was a gangster with their kid in a school?
I believe so.
Is that what we deal with?
Although I want to say this, I don't think that I'm treated with the same reverence that Tony Soprano is treated with.
Yeah, because there's not the fear of death.
Right, no.
How do we do that?
What's the word?
How do we implement
that? What do they think I'm going to do? Cut a throw them or something? Right. That's like the worst thing they think that I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I did the auction at my kid's school, there were, you know, a few parents that weren't real happy about that, and I had to deal with that.
Yeah, like, because you're the shock jock.
Yeah, and they somehow think that I'm going to come in, you know, like, pantless.
No, at least
or something. You know, it's my kid's school, for God's sake.
At my kid's school, they're fine with that. You
actually talked me down when that was going on. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
Because you'd been there and you'd experienced similar stuff, and you know, you just got life goes on. I mean, but people's perception of you and me outside of this environment is to see, and we're like, hi, would you like to see my? You know, come on.
I do want to say this. Goddamn! Last night there were tons of MILFs.
Oh yes.
There were so many goddamn hot MILFs there last night.
Were they younger than the dads in many cases?
Yeah, a lot of these guys, they're like on their second or third wives. Mm-hmm. And who am I to say I'm on my second, but at least I've been with her for 20 years. And my wife is looking damn strong.
Damn.
But man, there's some MILFs there last night.
There you go.
They really are.
That's fantastic.
God damn.
Good for you.
Some of those girls are so hot. I mean, women. Some of those mothers.
I think I'll sit here.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, you shouldn't feel so bad, because when they write those, what they call syllabuses, up about classes, they just try to use big words. You know, if they said universe instead of cosmology or whatever it was,
right,
we'd all understand.
Yeah, maybe I'd follow it. All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Trying to dazzle you.
Yeah, this is now people are treating me like I'm quirky.
Okay. Don't fear bad, Don.
Hello.
They tried to use the big words in that syllabus.
Hello.
Do you understand, Don?
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Radio God.
Hi there.
Hey, don't feel so bad. You just look them straight in the eye and say, hey, only a handful of guys can do what I do every day.
Jerry Lewis.
There may be six or eight guys. We're going to take all the teachers that write those fancy syllabuses and teach them how to take a fall.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, at least you're involved with your son going to school. A lot of these parents out there don't give a rat's ass.
No, you know, listen, I've said it before. I love my kid more than I do anything for him.
No, I agree. Well,
don't feel so
with
bad.
Mine too, but you got kids out there to turn into murderers and politicians.
Don't feel bad, Don. They use extra big words.
Yeah, they do. This is how I feel when I walk into the classroom. Oh, God. Oh, hey, look, there's Bart's dad. Have you heard his show? His awful show?
Hey, he's singing a song.
Listen, it's Don.
Comes out like a rose.
Oh, there he is.
Everybody knows.
She'll get you in touch. Sure, he's wearing nice clothes.
You can look, bet you're dead in nice time.
Boys and I mean, you know, you could put a piece of ribbon on a piece of ass.
Right.
But it's still a piece of ass.
Well, don't be intimidated.
I'm not. Well, I am a little bit, but I'll get over it.
Don't worry about
it's
it.
It's once a year.
Absolutely.
It's once a year.
Now, you don't have to go back through for anything like this other than social functions.
No, all the rest of the stuff is the stuff that they don't mind that I do. You know, the stuff where I use my hands. Where I go to the school and dig. I'm serious.
You can go in the backyard. They'll put you on a run.
No, like when they have the carnival, the school carnival to raise money and stuff. That's where I always get that call right away. Hey, listen, we need to
let you drive the cart again.
Yeah, drive a golf cart come out and dig a trench or something. I'm always good for that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Just wanted to let you know it all comes down to you just can't polish.
No, agreed. That's what I was trying to say. You put a ribbon on a piece of vest.
Hey, the bottom line is your kid, and he's doing great.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
The word is syllabus. I mean syllabi, not syllabuses.
I don't think we said syllabuses.
She's correcting the caller, not you.
Oh, the caller.
Right.
Oh, I didn't hear the caller say that.
Yeah, he said syllabuses.
Syllabi.
Syllabi. Okay, syllabi.
All right.
Letter is C.
Well, you're just a little smarter than him.
Like kiss my syllabi.
Letter is C.
Syllabi. Okay, thank you, honey.
Thanks, guys.
Like dominatrices.
Bye-bye.
Rob, a word for that woman?
Oh, it's pretty.
You have to go to your kids back to school. And when you're the guy who calls women whores on the Don and Mike show. You just wait. I wish that on you, Rob.
It's one of the best ever, though.
Yeah. Oh, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Mike.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, clown baby, how you doing?
Oh, hey, Jack Diamond's baby son calling the show. How you doing?
Hey, Don and Mike, have you been to the Red Robin chain of restaurants lately?
Hey, you know, I was trying to get a gig. I went to this bar where Diamond had played.
Uh-oh.
And I got another confirmation that when he plays with his band or has in the past, they don't plug his instruments in.
I swear to God.
Hey, Jack Diamond. So a lady was telling me that he walked from one end of the stage to the other. I said, how did he do that? I think the cord was dragging behind him.
Jack Diamond, thank you.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Don and Mike, did you know that if you go to the Red Robin chain of restaurants, you can now get the Jack Diamond burger?
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, baby. You get Jack Diamond Burger. Hey, can I have that Jack Diamond Burger medium rare, baby?
Oh, God damn. That's awful that there's a chain of restaurants where you can buy a Jack Diamond Burger.
It's disgusting.
I got something about him. Let me see if I get a hold of my cutting, honey.
Comes with extra cheese on that.
My wife told me something so funny. It's a ham sandwich. Ham and bologna. My wife told me something. I bet she won't want to say it on the air. But she told
me,
hey, hi, sweetie.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm getting my hair colored. What do you think of me being a redhead?
No, I like it better the regular color.
Which regular color?
The brown color.
Now it hasn't been that way for quite a while, but that's sweet of you to say. Thank you.
Some guy just called in, was talking about Jack Diamond.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say that thing that, you know, the car dealer told you about Jack Diamond.
Yeah.
So, listen, not to be like Diane or anything, and I didn't mention this because it's, you know, that bitch Diane Rehm, she came on her show the other day on NPR, and she goes, I care so much about America. What I've done is I went out and I bought a brand new Toyota Avalon.
Right.
And, you know, she's getting, like, all kinds of accolades in the press because the bitch bought a new car.
Right.
You know, to help America's economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to New York this weekend to do my bit.
So I didn't.
I feel like a member of the USO.
I didn't even mention that a couple of weeks ago that I got a car. I traded my car and I got another car. And my wife, when she was there doing the paperwork and stuff, what did the guy at the dealership tell you?
No, it was the person in finance said that he changed his mind. She was there with him 8 hours because he had changed his mind so many times, trying not to be upside down on a loan.
Because, you know, Jack Diamond does that thing where he buys a car,
right,
and then he drives it, like, for 2 weeks, and he gives it back to the dealership so they can put a plaque in it saying, you know, this car was owned by Jack Diamond. And the lady, the financer at the dealership where we bought this car, and incidentally, I'd like some props. I'm a great American for buying an American
yes,
car.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Take that, Diane. The lady said that, told Frieda, when Jack Diamond was in there recently, it took him 8 hours to finance a car because he is so upside down. That he buys cars and trades them in
right.
So often.
So it's just a sea of debt.
Yeah. Great.
All right, my boo-boo, I got to go.
All right.
I'm getting color put on my head right now.
All right, see you later.
All right, love you.
I vote for Lucy Red.
Love you. No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right.
No.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. See a lot of that in New York.
And I only pray, let me just say this, anyone who my wife or I happen to do business with, you say anything to anybody about us, I will cut your ass off.
There you go.
I mean, I don't
you
want
will tear their tongue out by the roots.
Thank you very much. That's an insult to my doctor.
Yeah, man.
To my daughter.
I'll never do business again, man.
How about that, though? She sits down and she goes, oh, your husband Don from Don and Mike. I listen all the time. Oh, yeah, you know, Jack Diamond was in here. Oh, my God, we laughed because he was 8 hours getting a car financed because he's so upside down. He's so upside down.
You better use, yeah, thank you.
We have the number of the restaurant. Okay, let's call the restaurant to see if, in fact, they have a Jack Diamond sandwich.
That'll be fantastic. A burger. That's what the caller said.
Yeah, hold on,
specifically Rodney. A burger.
I go an audition?
Right.
Is that right? Okay, let me get the ring on the air.
Tastes like copper.
Did I dial correctly? I'm not hearing anything. Hold on a second. Oh, that was a double four. There's a ring. All right, now I'll take that off the air.
See if we can get through.
I got to get permission to talk to someone.
If this is true. What's the name of the restaurant?
Red Robin. Hi, Dana, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We'd like to go on the air with you for a second about your fabulous restaurant. Would you have a second? Sure, she says. Okay, great.
This is Dana?
Yes.
Dana, hi, Dana. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
From the Red Robin restaurant in Fair Lakes, Virginia. Is it true that you have a sandwich of some type named after disc jockey Jack Diamond?
Well, actually, it was a promotion that we were doing for a while, and it was the Red Robin Royal Burger, which has an egg on it. And every time that a guest ordered a Red Robin Royal Burger, we donated $2 to, it was something for Jack Diamond.
Something for Jack. For what?
Diamond.
For his alimony?
Car financing.
For his cars, for his child support?
And the burger had an egg on it?
Yes.
Yay.
It's on our regular menu.
Really?
Good. It's on the regular menu.
Hey, Rob, sounds good.
But that's you're not doing that anymore?
No, we're not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, honey.
Bye.
Dana?
Hey, Dana?
Oh, I missed that. What were you going to ask her?
If the egg was runny.
Runny.
Hello, Joe.
Yes.
Joe, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks. What?
I wanted to talk about the woman who bought the Toyota Avalon.
Yes.
Yes. And what kind of car did you buy?
Another Cadillac.
There you go.
Excellent.
Best of all, it's a Cadillac.
I worked for a Saturn dealer in New Jersey. We used to have a handout that talked about if you bought a $15,000 Saturn or you bought a $15,000 Toyota, how much of the money would actually stay in the U.S. 3,000 of it stayed in for the Toyota, and 13 stayed with the Saturn.
There you go. And that's coming from a car dealership, so you know that's true.
Yeah, you can believe that.
Take that to the bank.
All right, thank you.
Bye, American.
Right.
I'm with you there. Thank you, Joe.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless, sir. Right.
God bless.
Can't argue with that.
God bless a real American hero.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
The Don and Mike Show. Let them give me a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike via the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Arndinger, with you. Wow, I'm having fun today. You know, this is the first time that I've been working in the studio with the robot. And the robot is going berserk right now. I think I need help from engineering. Anyway, let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. Oh, it's time to do the Sacramento Dance. I'm sorry, the Sacramento Dance. Tune in for the Sacramento Dance, everybody. It's the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just want to talk to Don and Mike about the fact that Mike's thinking is flawed and giving girls with double D's an advantage. They need to have the worst odds of anybody there.
Why?
Well, because if they only have the D's and the double D's have to take their bras off, they're never going to end up taking them off. You want to get them off as soon as possible.
What? All right, leave the driving to us, sir, okay?
Listen and enjoy.
All right.
My brain was starting to hurt on that one.
Thanks, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Radio God. Glad to be able to talk with you guys finally.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, listen, that bra bingo sounds great.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get the girls. We'll do it next week.
Listen, if you didn't watch all the Olympics, I imagine Mike might have seen that commercial with NASCAR and the Winter Olympics. They were explaining why NASCAR could never be in the Winter Olympics.
I don't think I saw that one. The only one I remember was, it might have been a Gateway commercial, the cow ski jumping.
That's a great commercial.
Which I laugh at every time. Because it's, you know, it's a dumb special effect, but to see a cow ski jumping and they have the cow leaning out over the skis and then it lands, he goes, oh, he's traveling too far. It's dumb, but I enjoy that. I haven't seen the NASCAR one, though.
But, Mike, you might like it if they had snowmobiles or snowcat, you know, on oval tracks in the Olympics and all that. That'd be pretty cool.
I agree.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Toodaloo, ass. Toodaloo. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
See you later. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I knew it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a suggestion for bra bingo. I think you should call it booby bingo, don't you think?
No, honey.
No, bra bingo is
it's perfect. It's bra bingo because the girls are playing for their bra size.
And bra bingo, it's just...
Bra bingo sounds so much better than boob bingo.
Bra bingo sounds like something you did like when you were in high school.
Booby bingo. Leave the driving to us.
No. This is what I think, because bingo has two syllables, and booby has two syllables, and
you're thinking too much.
Jesus Christ.
What she just said, you explained to her why she was a wrong whore. No, this is what I think. Want to know what we really think? Or do you want to hang up now and cut your logs, whore?
Rob.
Okay, if you don't like it, that's okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Listen and enjoy.
Rob.
Calling
Rob, you haven't felt that way in a long time about a caller.
Little whore, little whore. Listen to the show, but don't call in whore.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I was wondering if you guys had a theme song yet for the bra bingo.
Of course not. I just thought of this last night.
How about reverse B-I-N-G-O? As you did for the...
Wow, man. Stop it.
How about everybody, please...
Just shut up with your dumb ideas.
Everybody, please, just let us find the girls and do the bit.
I mean, aren't you going to enjoy it?
I hung up on him already.
God,
listen and enjoy.
Toodaloo. Ass. Really?
Oh, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, sir. Hello, Don and Mike. This is Pedro. I'm going to call to Mike. Is Mike there?
Yes,
Mike.
We have so many helpers out there.
We
got to be the number one show for helpers in America.
So. I'm here, Pedro. What is your... Pedro!
Hey, Pedro.
Shut up for a second. I hope you don't have an idea about bra bingo.
No. This is something I want to talk to you, Mike. Why do you hate... Sacramento so much. I mean, you love Tom.
Sorry. Sorry.
Hey, I couldn't help myself. It was a spontaneous reaction.
I'm going to take that away from him. Really, he's never allowed to have access to the phone during the show. Just hung up on the guy. I don't know. You know, didn't we used to hide that? Didn't we used to unplug that?
I don't know if you can unplug it.
Sure you can.
Yeah, you can.
Right on top. There you go.
Yeah. Well, they brought it in. Excuse me. Somebody was covering for somebody the other day and needed it over here.
And
that's what it was over here for.
But someone was also covering for someone else.
Yes, I understand, but that's why it was over here.
Yeah, but it's
why Johnny Retardo had it next to him over here. That's why I was over here pressing the buttons, and that was a call from Sacramento.
I know.
I've never done that before.
And I don't know why. You hung up on
Isn't that a first? Isn't that a first? I don't think...
No.
I don't think I've ever done that.
No.
Hello, Mike. What did you like to Sacramento?
Love Sacramento.
Yes. I know you do.
I said we.
Oh, we. Yes.
We. Yeah, we love
Sacramento.
Of course,
Sacramento. We. Yes, we do. And especially that gentleman in back of you.
Rob.
Hi.
Hi, Rob.
Rob, you know, I think you have to love a place to invent a dance.
Yeah.
Rob.
To invent,
secret love.
Invent a dance for it. Absolutely.
I just want to apologize to these whoops.
No, that's denial.
Who are not seeing
like
that dance?
I'm adding to it.
That is a really nice new move.
Listen, I mean this really from my ticker. Sacramento has
it's
the left, right? It's a Sacramento has supported this show for 7 years.
They have.
And you guys, I don't know why you do the Sacramento dance. I don't know.
Because anytime we get a call from Sacramento, and although my finger slipped on that one, the Atello's take it away from me. I like the Sacramento dance to celebrate the joy that is.
And remember, Mike, it's the right hand and the left foot.
There you go.
Hello, Northern California. How's the farmland?
Sacramento, that's...
We apologize.
Now, Mike, you're as guilty as he is. You're as guilty as he is. Sacramento, please do not take the actions of these two men.
That's right.
An indication of how the show feels about you.
Right. Continue to call in with your fake voice. Hello, Doug.
I love
it
Sacramento.
Here.
I love you. I'd live there.
I'm going to call in.
I'd live there.
It is a beautiful spot of the
Swear I'd live there.
Country.
I love Sacramento. Thank you for your support. Please do not be swayed by the fact that both Mike and Rob are doing a dance that indicates that they are...
Disregard the dance, please.
Now.
They have added some interesting touches.
I don't know what the hell. What did Sacramento ever do to you?
Exactly.
Except give you great ratings. What? You guys.
It's a mime thing. It's kind of a mime dance that we're doing.
You know, I got to appeal. Buzz, you got to help me out on this. Please.
I'm with you. I love Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Always have.
Please continue to listen to this show on KHTK.
Please. Forgive
them. Please continue to listen.
They're just kidding.
Forgive them.
They can't.
And Rob, they don't know why they do this. I think they do it in part to annoy me.
Sacrophobia, like homophobia, truly, they really love Sacramento.
I think they're doing this in part to annoy me because
annoy
they know
or entertain. Find joy in it.
Friday and they're bad kids.
I don't approve of it. You know what?
I don't approve of it either.
I shouldn't laugh at it.
Right. You shouldn't.
I shouldn't laugh at it.
You shouldn't.
I look forward to 2006 where the Sacramento dance is a Winter Olympic sport. Do the Sacramento dance on ice.
You guys.
They're going to give him a 6-0 on that.
I love it out there. And, you know, we do this just because. You know why we do this? Because it's fun. We don't really feel that way.
There they go again. I don't know.
Jesus, please continue to listen in Sacramento.
Please.
Absolutely. I mean this.
We both mean it.
You're important to us. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I just want to say something. Mike is going through a tough time, so
that's
cut
right.
Mike some slack.
Thank you, Don.
Rob, I don't
you
know.
I hate everybody.
Rob hates everybody, but for some reason, Sacramento's getting your venom more than ever. And,
yes. Don't know why.
I apologize.
I think it's out of line.
Right. Love you. Love
you. Out of line.
Love
absolutely.
Sacramento.
Love you, Sacramento. Mike, would you stop with it? Now, what is the point of...
That's the wife of the armpits.
Oh,
I forgot that one, too.
Now, what is that?
God damn. That's really not part of the dance.
I don't know what that means.
Oh.
Why?
Oh. What's that one?
He's getting out of
sleepers.
Eye boogers.
I
all right, there we go. I'm done.
All right.
Whew.
Jesus Christ.
God, that felt good.
God damn, guys. It's like you're doing an aerobics class in here.
I know. I mean, I feel like I've gotten my workout for the day. I'm done exercising for the day.
Okay, stop it. Christ.
Wow.
I'm going to have to, you know, I very rarely ask this. I may ask for this part of the show to be edited out of the Sacramento broadcast when it airs later today.
That, I think that might be just as well. You know, I really do. Because, I mean, you know, it's not like it's funny. It's just every time there's this pause, every time you have this little lull, I know Rob feels the same way. We, you know, we're resisting the urge to, like, get up and start doing it again, you know.
They're a city that has supported this show and given us number one ratings for seven years.
Very strong. And look at the thanks.
Look at what they're doing.
For all they've done for you.
The two of them
are taking the dance to
a new level.
Oh, that's
sorry.
The
that's
level
it.
Of number three.
It's the pausing that I feel like dancing whenever, I mean, I do. I really do. Let me get a Sacramento call.
Let me change the mood. Here's a guy in Seattle.
Very John. Good.
Thanks for taking my call, Radio God.
Yeah,
Mike, I do understand that you are going through a rough time. Godspeed on your recovery.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, sir.
I think that Rob's attitude today, does it correspond to him not getting any last night?
No, Rob is having an absolutely normal day.
Yeah, Rob's having a normal day.
For
what it's worth, I got plenty this morning.
There you go.
Hey.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. My
and, you know, in that department, as far as tension and stuff like that, I'm okay.
Good.
Alone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but compared to, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, remember when you were not able?
Same thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at least you're able to get your blessed relief.
And I was actually thinking about that last night. I was thinking about how easy it is now.
Good. Congratulations.
It's the truth.
How easy it is.
Yeah, but I mean, because before it was...
So you just look at it.
You need just a feather touch in the... Whoa.
Hello, Scott. Don and Mike show. Hello. Scotty, are you there?
Scotty.
All right, we got some.
Radio God.
Oh, there you go.
Here I am.
Line just came up. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, Buzz. Buzz just used the word sacrophobia.
Sacrophobia. Yes.
Did he find out his crossword puzzle this morning?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
I'm good with words.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the New York area.
Okay.
All right. See, Mike, well, what did you think? You had another Sacramentian on the phone?
Because I think of the nature of the last 5 minutes of the show, I was curious as to the origin of the call. That's all.
They're tape delayed.
You know what you are?
I'm in that dancing mode. That's it.
I'll tell you what you are. You know what you are? You're a bully. And here's why you're a bully. Because you're doing that because you know they can't respond. They can't respond until Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to hear it today.
You know, I don't mind being called a lot of stuff, but you're right. If I'm being a bully, I should back off and, you know. Even with the dancing, it's foolish.
Ninety-six hours away is Tuesday.
That's right, Sacramento. You know,
guys, you the two of them. Buzz, do you believe?
I can't believe it. I've never seen a display like this before. You know, I didn't get any last night, and I still love Sacramento.
You know, this is like watching two monkeys in a cage down at the National Zoo.
You know, Bob gets me because he comes around the corner, and I can see that he's already starting to dance. Yeah.
That's almost, you know, maybe it would be a better summer Olympic event, almost like synchronized swimming.
Absolutely.
We could really work up a routine.
Anytime you devise a dance for a city, that's a tribute, and I think people should realize that. Right?
I underscore that.
Oh, that's a tribute.
It is indeed.
That's a tribute.
Perhaps soon we'll do our Baltimore dance.
The point. I think that's what we should call it, the point.
The point.
Mm-hmm. The Sacramento point.
There you go. Very good. And I'm over it. I got it completely out of my system. You know, I get motivated sometimes when Rob comes around the corner.
All right, dancing. Stop it.
Oh, lovely dance.
Both of you, stop it.
Never seen anything.
Remember, Mike?
I'm stopping. Mike? I'm doing the work.
God damn it.
I'm doing fine. I'm stopping.
Stop it. You're going to ruin our empire.
No, I'm not.
But you're doing the Sacramento dance.
I'm happy. I'm fine. Everything's going to be all right with that.
Okay. All right. This is big kiss from me to Sacramento.
That's right.
Just,
mwah, and from me.
What is he doing? What's he doing?
Keep him out of my... Just keep him out of my eyeliner.
What are you doing?
I just saw his head bounce.
What are you doing?
I swear on either of my children, one that I've gotten, I was just sacking spots.
I get angles of Rob's eye, like eye contact.
Now, if I made eye contact with Mike, it was... But I wasn't dancing or pointing.
I love Sacramento. And I want to say that. And I want to go on the record saying that I do. I loved it. I loved it when we were out there. We had a gazillion fans out there. It was fantastic.
Yes.
It was fantastic. And I know that Rob felt the same way.
It was fun.
It was.
Okay.
That's it. See, now, so, John, can we leave it at that?
Please.
Okay, please.
Please, leave it at that.
Enough with this.
Here is Rich from Concord, California. Rich.
Guys. Yeah,
hi.
I'm about 70 miles south of Sacramento. The place is a toilet. Come on.
No, it's not.
No,
that's
not that.
That's not called for.
Now, stop it. Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm serious. I'm getting pissed now. Stop it.
You're better than that.
Ask to you, my friend.
I'm getting mad, too.
Shut
no,
up.
No, I am.
As
I am.
Sure.
What is this BS?
Shut up.
That's right.
Toodaloo ass.
Yeah, toodaloo. What kind of crap is that? And he lives out there. I mean, what kind of integrity is that?
I don't know. It's no integrity, Mike.
Absolutely.
We got to, now we don't have time for the sex tip from Leah Remini.
Huh.
Someone just had to dance.
I don't know what it was today.
Yeah, no,
was Pedro. Was that guy that called us Pedro?
Right.
And that's who started it.
You hung up on the guy.
And then you took the phone thing from me.
And then you and Rob started doing your Sacramento dance.
Strange day today.
Very just strange. Wait. Sacramento, you just wait till we come back out there for a show. You just wait, and I make Mike and Rob do the Sacramento dance for you.
Okay, very good.
You just wait. That's my promise. The next time we go to Sacramento, I will somehow get these guys to have the balls to do that dance on stage the next time we go to Sacramento.
Dance. All right, and you know what? Because of all this and the way we've done this today, as a way of apologizing, the next time we go to Sacramento, I know Rob and I will both get up and do this.
Someone put that.
And you know what?
Put that in a time capsule. Put that on tape.
And I will do it. I will do it topless.
Okay, yeah, shirtless. Wow. I'll do that.
All right, very. We'll do it shirtless.
That's a, that's a commitment.
Shirtless without a shirt.
Yeah. Make time code the tape.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
You got it. That's the word, Sacramento.
Very good.
My apologies. Love you.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hot dog. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Well, welcome back to the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Artinger here. Joe Artinger with you. Hey, weekend is here. Have a can of beer, everybody. And have a great Labor Day weekend. Now, let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. Let's see. Don calls Mike's Valentine's weekend. I don't know what that means. Let's check it out together on the best of Don and Mike.
I say, you and I spent part of Valentine's Day together.
Oh, did you call me at a good time? Oh, my God.
Last night,
call
my buddy. See how he's doing.
Very nice of you to do that. It's the second time you've done that. I've appreciated that both times. And
just to check in on you.
First time, you got the, fine. And last night you got the, I guess we were on the phone for a relatively significant amount of time.
Almost an hour. Almost an hour last.
Yeah, I got to talk to somebody. So that's it. So, that's it. New policy today. Got some information. Going to low-key it from this point
good
forward.
Good idea.
For, that reason.
No. Understood.
That's the reason I'm doing that.
Good idea.
Good.
Good idea. And please don't be offended when I turn my sex music on.
I am perfectly psychologically conditioned today to come in here and hear about your wonderful Valentine's Day. I am fine because do you know why I'm fine?
Why?
Because it's Friday.
Okay. Let me just say that I believe I hit the home run last night.
Oh, good. There you go. You.
Although there was a snafu at the beginning of the Valentine's Day evening for us.
Can't imagine what that could be.
Well, I don't think you'll be surprised when you hear what it was.
Okay.
My day not so spicy either.
Hi, sweetie.
Yes. Hi, honey.
You got the guys with the house over there?
She's a lady, but yes.
Yeah.
She's a lady.
Whoa.
She's a lady.
Because,
I don't want to talk about Valentine's Day right this second. Is that what you called about? How wonderful?
Yeah.
What do you have, a kitchen full of Chippendales?
That would be a little embarrassing for me right now.
All right, well, then I'll do the talk without you.
Okay, good. Listen, we don't have the radio on, so
do me a favor. Do me a favor. Just rate. Hey, with your expectations, rate it. As much as we did on the newlywed game yesterday, give me a rating of 1 to 10 on how I handled everything.
Okay, the first segment, you rated pretty low. But I have to say, I wasn't surprised. You know, I think I set myself up for disappointment with the first segment.
You did.
And you made up for it. You more than made up for it. In the second half.
Thank you.
Right. So you're like a team that was losing, say, 0 to, 21 at the end of the first half. But by the second half, you were a Super Bowl champion.
Absolutely. I'm the New England Patriots.
Right.
I'm the comeback kid.
There you go.
I'm the comeback kid.
Yeah.
Good. All right, sweetie.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'll see
all
you.
Right. All right. I won't be listening.
All right.
Okay, but my parents will hear it, so don't, you know.
I'm just going to tell the truth.
All right.
All right.
Wow, sounds like it might have gotten down and dirty.
Bye, honey. Bye. No, listen. Here's the deal.
Animal. Raw animal. Sweating bodies. Slapping against sweating bodies.
Here's the deal. I get home yesterday, and we'd already set this up, that we were going to bang, then we were going to have our shrimp cocktails and our champagne.
I've always admired the fact that in your marriage, you the lack of spontaneity when it comes to marital relations has never really bothered either one of you.
Well, I'd like to be spontaneous. My wife hates it.
But a prearranged time to bang, you know, for a lot of couples that doesn't do it. And
no.
You guys, I know you're like, you're like a goddamn collie.
I'm always ready.
Right.
And frankly, I can't tell you the amount of times that I've walked up and I grope her from behind and it's like, hey, and I'm always getting, no, not now.
Right.
Not now. It's the middle of the day. All the spontaneous times I want are the times that she doesn't want. So we got it set up. I get home yesterday afternoon and, we can't go according to plan because the cleaning lady's still there.
Oh, no.
Right?
No.
I get home from work, and for a variety of reasons,
yes.
I walked through the door yesterday, perhaps not with the best of Valentine's Day mindsets. I mean, it all had to do with where we work.
Yeah, and, I'm probably not the best help for that either at this juncture.
No, Mike. No, please. You're a tiny, tiny part of the pie.
Okay. Yeah,
on the pie chart of why.
But the show, I thought, yes. I mean, couldn't have gone better.
It was just
perfect.
Beautiful.
We had a great show. It's the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of
crap.
That's
starting to kill me, and I'm tired of wearing a tie, and I'm tired of going to these pointless goddamn meetings, and I'm ready. I'm just what I'm ready for. I'm ready for
the
same thing you are.
Right.
So I get home, and I'm thinking. During the whole time that we're going through the stuff after the show yesterday, that, well, at least when I get home, I'm going to be able to bang my beautiful wife, have my shrimp cocktails, have my bubbly, and I get there, and there's Lucy, or whatever her name is, Lucci, or whatever her name is.
Mr. Donnie.
Right.
Hello, Mr. Donnie.
She's going, yeah, we need pine chal. I'm like, huh? You have to go to the store and get pine sal. I mean, excuse me? And finally she holds up the bottle of pine sal.
Pine sal, there you go.
Pine sal. So I go to the store and I got to buy a bottle of pine sal. So I'm waiting and it's 5:30 and by this time I'm in a funk. And I'm just sitting down alone. Because, Bart's off at this Model UN thing.
Right.
So I'm sitting alone in my cave and I'm watching... Stupid Live at 5, dumb Channel 4 news.
Is there anything worse than local news?
No.
No.
In all our years of working in this city, I will tell you that I have concluded that when it comes to the entertainment, the home entertainment scale, there is nothing worse than local news.
That's true.
It's absolutely horrible.
So I am I'm less than motivated, because I've come home now and I've, Lucia sent me out for pine tall, and things aren't going according to plan, and I'm just sitting there, I'm watching fat, ugly, baggy-eyed, big-ass Liz Crenshaw, doing the does this really work segment, where she orders something off television and then she shows you if it works or not,
right?
Big freaking cow on Channel 4, and all of a sudden the intercom goes off and it is a I'm ready for you. Well, okay, suddenly the mood gets better.
It's good.
I go upstairs. I see the bedroom door is shut.
Mm-hmm.
I open the bedroom door. Now, as promised, she's got her Luther Vandross music on, which I've agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the music, but I've agreed to the music. She says, I'm in here, and she's in the bathroom.
Oh.
And she's in the tub.
Oh, she's on the toilet.
No, and she's got all of these candles.
Yeah. I'm over. I'm ready now.
So she's got all of these candles going and stuff. And I think the reason that she's in the bathtub is that, there's that unspoken rule that that I can never do anything.
You're talking about when you're going down
south of the border, right. Down Mexico way.
She never wants that done unless she's right out of the bathtub, right?
So, and you like it that way too, right?
Sure, oh, of course I do. So I'm standing there and I said, great, get out, let's go. And she said, no. You get in the bathtub. And I said, honey, listen, you've known me. We've been married 20 years. It's our 21st Valentine's Day together. I'm not a bath guy. I'm not a bath guy. And she said, come on, this is what I was talking about. And I said, you never mentioned a bath. You never mentioned a bath. You mentioned music. You mentioned candles. You never mentioned a bath. I said, I love you more than any woman.
It's a little awkward. We're not talking about a hot tub either. We're talking about a regular tub.
Yeah. I said, I love you more than anything, more than anybody. But I swear to God, it could be Jennifer Aniston in that bathtub.
Right.
No offense. I ain't taking a bath. She said, why? I said, have we ever taken a bath together? She said, no. I said, you want to know the real reason? It's the foot thing.
Yeah, right. You got to deal with a lot of feet when you're in the tub with a woman.
She's sitting on one side of the tub. I'm on the other side of the tub. Right. I got my feet. I said, listen, I got to be honest with you.
See, that's why I probably love the bath experience, because there are feet all over the place.
I mean, it's just feet. I said, I have not cut my toenails recently.
Oh, you're embarrassed for your feet.
And, you know, a couple of the toes, still got the toenail fungus thing happening.
Right, I understand
and,
now.
You know, I got a little case of the athlete's foot.
Feet that resemble the feet of a chicken hawk.
Yeah, and
yes.
It's not pretty. And I don't want to take a bath with socks on.
Right.
So I said, this was not part of the deal.
And feet designed for catching bath.
And at that point, I think that I've wrecked it, because What she starts doing is leaning around, and she starts going,
oh, blowing out the candle?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Angrily?
Yeah. And I said, wait. No need to blow out the candle. Just get out of the tub. And she said, no, obviously, you're just not in the right mood for this.
See, that's when you run to the back of the bathroom and you just take a head dive with your clothes on right into the tub. That's when you'd be totally, listen to me.
She's still going, and I'm like, please, honey, come on, what are you doing? And she said, no, listen, you know what? With all the stuff that's been going on at work, you came home today in a bad mood. You're not really up for this. We'll do it another time. We'll do it the next time Bart's away from home. And I'm seeing the whole evening just absolutely just crash in front of
me. Yeah, I mean, the whole evening, didn't it hinge on that?
Yeah, so so I'm having to wait and wait, and she gets out of the tub, and I got to, you know, then I bring her into the room.
I like the blowing out of the candles.
And the music is still, now the music is still going, you know, which I'm not crazy about, and the lights are kind of low, and
you almost blew it.
And then she pulls out some of the oils and
jellies.
Yeah, actually some stuff that like
creams
you rub on it and you eat it.
Oh.
You know, stuff like that that tastes like chocolate or raspberry.
Flavor raspberry.
And I did the job.
Oh, so that's what you were talking about when it started out bad and then you redeemed yourself.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, you did?
I Jesus Christ, I did the job. Christ, I did the, I
you know what Rob said?
What?
Better than finding one.
I've done the deed.
Good for you.
I done the deed, and you know. And meanwhile, the whole time I'm checking my watch.
That's a cool deed when someone's out of the tub, and you know. I mean, that's a very don't. I mean, do you dig the deed when it's like?
Yeah, when
I don't mind that deed.
Nice and fresh. Yeah.
When it's like that,
clean.
Yeah, there are happen circumstances when the deed is not always that great.
And now I'm watching because we've got one of these alarm clock things. It's got like an infrared thing, and it shoots the time up on the ceiling.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen these things in the
right.
store. Shoots, it's a digital thing. It shoots the time and the temperature up on the ceiling. And I'm noticing at one point that, oh, my God, I've been at this like for 30 minutes.
Wow, good work.
30 minutes?
Man.
My
mind. But it's terrific because you can check the time and temp on the 8th.
Yes. So finally.
Check in with the traffic reporter.
I'm proud to say that she didn't pull my head back.
Excellent.
You know, which I get a lot of the time.
Did you get the impression from her that she was?
Oh yes.
Lost in the moment.
Yes.
It's good.
Yes.
Right. Congratulations.
Completed that act, and then it was time for my fun, which lasted maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, that's good. Probably a little wound up.
I was ready.
Of course.
And, then we sat there for a moment, and we were laying on the bed, and I said to her, "Look at that." And I don't know what she thought I was talking about, whether it be the mood lighting, the music,
right.
How beautiful she is. But I was looking at the time on the ceiling, and I said, that's a record. Look at that. I mean, you're talking about, wow, this has been like 40 minutes.
That's the way she would probably like it every time, with you two.
Yeah.
Finish.
Not a chance.
Your duties before you took care of yourself.
Not a chance. It's Valentine's Day. It's a special day for my honey.
There you go.
So we get done with that. We go downstairs, and she got the bottle of booze, and she got the nice big ass shrimp I like, not the little chintzy kind.
The shrimp that requires you to put an S on the end of it, and change it from shrimp cocktail to shrimp cocktail.
Cocktails, and she's got the spicy horseradish sauce. Mm.
That's the only way to eat them.
That's and right. You know, we are eating and we are drinking. And then, this is great, so we've got like 2 hours that we've been together, just close, intimate, we've discussed things, and then at that point, the best part of the evening, she said, is, well, this has been great, and we had a deep soul kiss, and then she said, I love you so much, and I said, I love you so much, and she said, you can go to your room to watch television if you want now.
Good
wow.
Night. Good night for the ideal evening.
And I said, I love you so much, and I went off to watch whatever dumb movie was on TV, and
that's good.
And she started getting on the phone and talking to her friends and talking to her mother, and it was very nice. I thought I handled it perfectly.
That's good.
Thought I had it screwed up at the beginning, but I ended up saving it.
Sounds like it. Good Sounds work. Like you did the right thing there, and was a little nervous when you were talking about the candles being blown out.
Yeah, and then I was feeling so good. That this was about 7:30.
Right.
I was sitting there. By that point, I'd been given the pass that I could go back to my normal life of living like Howard Hughes.
Right.
So I was barricaded in the cave watching the channels, watching the 500 channels, unable to find anything to stick with, but just flipping. And I thought, well, you know what? I want to see how my buddy Mike is doing.
Yeah, you called me, said how you were doing, and I've had a very tough day, and went over that day with you. I had a tough day, except for I would like to throw a compliment out to a retailer, because at the end of the day, when I had also been in meetings most of the day,
different type of meeting.
Yeah. I was the one thing that I was going to do that was on my list, the priority actually of my day was in the morning, I had gotten my kids a couple of big teddy bears with some Valentine stamps and the pens and, you know, the little key rings with the lights on them. I'd gotten them toys, but the thing that I think, well, most kids want on Valentine's Day, they want the big heart-shaped candy.
Box of candy.
And that was the one thing, and they'd gotten the Valentines and the cards and stuff like that, but they hadn't gotten the candy. So it's late. This is before I talked to you, and I'm cruising along, and I said, well, I'll get off here, and you know, when you're thinking about Valentine's candy, the night before Valentine's Day, I had gone to the Food Lion, and if we're going to grade the retailers, the grocery store, where, you know, a lot of grocery stores have that kind of stuff, Food Lion gets a big F, a big fat F, for nothing, and then I'm screwed, because the next place close to where I live is the Sheetz, which is the convenience store, big fat F. I think they had like some little tubercular teddy bear underneath the Lay's potato chips. And so I said, well, the next day, what I'll have to do is the end of the day on Thursday, I'm going to have to go out. And I'm driving along, and I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my place. I'm going to go to my place that has everything for any holiday.
Target.
Going to go to Target. Target is really across town. Target is all the way at the end of town. And I'm like, well, should I go to like a regular grocery store? And I said, out of the corner of my eye, I see CVS, the drugstore. And I'm like, you know, a drugstore isn't going to be the perfect place to go, but I'll give it a try. If not, then I'll go to the Target. I would like to compliment CVS because, much like me, I always call this the DAP. This is the dumbass patrol.
Yeah.
When you're talking at about, you know, 5:45 on Valentine's Day, you've got the dumbass patrol. They're the same people that will go in on Mother's Day and pick out the last two cards. This is the dumbass. This is the people, mouths agape, that are sitting there. And really, if the retailer is not prepared for this eventuality, for the DAP, for the dumbass patrol, if the retailer is not prepared for this, it can be an absolutely horrific experiment, because you're the dumbass patrol and you don't like me. I want to tell you, I walked in to CVS. I don't think I've ever gone into a retail store where what I wanted was staring me in the face. I mean, they had candy hearts. They had 6 miles of these things. They had so many, and there wasn't any empty, no picked over.
And so all the other DAPs in there, the dumbass patrol, especially the guy that weighed 700 pounds in front of me with the thick neck just staring at the little kid area. You know, the little kid, you know, there's certain things where you get for the adults. You get the lovely floral arrangement on top of the candy. You know, the Russell Stover, beautiful arrangement of the candy. And I don't want that. I want, you know, the little cartoon characters and all that. And so this guy was looking at the adult candy section, and I want to get in there. And so, but I was, you know why I was completely unfazed by this? Normally, I would really be pissed off at this, but no, because they have such a selection, I know that I'm going to get what I want. It was fantastic.
And you'll see the same, you'll make friends, and you'll see the same people on Christmas Eve.
Absolutely. Christmas Eve, now wait a minute. Christmas Eve, I always found to be kind of a different thing, because Christmas Eve, there's so much that goes into Christmas that if you're going out Christmas Eve, I think a lot of people do it actually by design, just to have the pleasure of going out.
Now,
Christmas
you're right. Well, if you're talking about your Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is always last minute. Yeah. I mean, people that are just like,
Easter, maybe?
Right.
Easter candies, stuff for the basket.
Yeah, that kind of last minute stuff.
Yeah.
You know, flowers, you know, for the special days.
Valentine's Day, which, let's face it, it is a manufactured holiday.
Absolutely.
It is a manufactured holiday that has been run by women. I don't know why. I don't know what woman came up with the thought of Valentine's Day.
I was in this CVS for total time commitment, maybe 10 minutes.
Good job.
And I got the two large candy hearts. You know, the big Russell Stover thing, which is the standard thing. But I don't think little kids really dig that. You know, but they like to see. Well, they like the exterior. They like the giant heart. Mm-hmm. But once you get into that candy, it's like grown up.
Yeah, no, it's all they want is chocolate.
Then I got the little one with the teddy bears on side, the tiny little heart shaped things. Then I got your tube with your Valentine bear on top with the Hershey's Kisses. Your tube with the little bear on top with the peanut butter cups. And I was in there. You know, it was fantastic. CVS deserves amazing credit for stocking what I wanted. I don't think there could have been for the DAP.
For the dumbass patrol.
And I was very, very satisfied with that because I really thought, you know, when you get down to the wire like that, you really think there's the potential that everything is going to be like the Food Lion that had like plastic roses.
Did they bleach
like one plastic rose sitting on a table?
Oh, like the 7-Eleven roses, the kind of...
Oh, in a tube?
The rolled up kind in the tube.
They're not a fine sponsor of the show, correct? Are they a fine sponsor of the...
Food Lion? They might be.
Really? All right, then I'll back off a little bit. But Jesus. I mean, you want to talk about picked over. Everything in there is picked over.
The good news about CVS is if they had that much candy last night, you'll see it again next year.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the Don and Mike Show.
Not me. I'm too young to die. Oh, the pain, the pain.
Whoops.
The Don and Mike Show. A colossal waste of time.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, welcome back to the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, and I have had a wonderful time with the robot today. I hope everybody on the Washington Redskins crew has as much fun as I did with it. Anyway, let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. Mike's Valentine's continues. It's the best of Don and Mike.
So you were able to get this worked out.
I was able to get this worked out. Had a long, long, long day.
After this, I'm sitting in my cave, and I'm feeling good. Feeling no pain. I had a couple of glasses of champagne. I'm lighting up a nice Opus X cigar, I think.
Right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to make a quick call just to tell Mike to say, hey, buddy, you know what? I'm thinking about you.
And you caught me at a time when I was ready to talk. I was ready. I'd had a very, very long day, and I wanted to share everything that I was going through, including what I talked about at the beginning of the show, which you probably think I've kind of come around on that to another person's point of view.
Yeah.
And which is valid, and that's, you know, the way I did that the first marriage. So it's, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, I gave you a good 45 minutes of non-stop. I mean, it was pretty much you said, how are you? And then you sat there and listened to me for 45 minutes.
And at one point, Frida came in, and I don't know if you even heard this, when she opened the door.
I knew you talked to somebody at your son or something like that.
No. Bart's away at this model. Right. She opens the door. She goes, who are you on the phone? I said, it's Mike. She says, have you been on the phone with him the whole time? I said, yes. Leave.
Did you do it? Was this going to, you know, he said, it's Mike.
Oh, no, I'm not doing the crazy.
Okay,
no.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I know that I really might have sounded a little unstable last night.
When she came in and I said, you know, it's Mike. She said, you've been on the phone with him for a long time. I just did this thing. You know, the thing with your hand, like someone's going on. And I went,
you know. So you could use all three, even though I wasn't drinking last night. You could have done the thing where, it's Mike. Then gone to the crazy sound, rolled the eyes, and then done with the little drinking thing. And then maybe really be a,
Oh, put the pot in your mouth.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it was, you know, because I...
No, Mike was not smoking
pot. No, not that, Rob. Right. You know I don't do that.
That's right.
I hate that stuff.
Mike wasn't getting weeded up last night.
But I appreciated it. I really did. I appreciated it. And I'm not sure, you know, because at the end when I wouldn't say really that it was helpful for me, because at the end of the conversation when I got off the phone with you, I said, man, I went too deep into this.
No, you didn't.
I mean, we don't really get all that heavy on each other.
Don't worry about it.
It was strange.
I think there's a limited variety of people who you can actually...
That is a remarkably small group of people.
Let it go to.
And that's evolved over the years. I must say, people say, are you guys friends after all these years? I say, well, it evolves. It's a dynamic where, it goes on and on and on. And I was, laying it all on the table that, what was going on.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't make you feel bad about your great Valentine's Day.
No, you didn't.
Because it was like, but I pictured that call was the result of what probably had happened. You had this incredible Valentine's Day. You were sitting there and it's like, gee, I know someone who's not having a Valentine's Day.
That was exactly it. That was my thought. I'm going to give my, and I said that to Frida as I went to the game and said, you know what I'm going to do? Jesus Christ, I'm going to call Mike because I know he was down with Doug today, and I'm going to call Mike and see how he's doing.
Well, I appreciated it.
Well, I'm glad it worked out for you, huh?
I really did. And then you know what? After I talked to you and I went into the house and the kids, got the can, it was like somebody takes an eraser and wipes off all the bad stuff. It was very. They were digging it, and it was a nice evening. It really was.
I can only imagine, but I know of all of the guys in the room. Rob, how was your Valentine's Day? With Carrie, the new baby?
Delightful. We had Wendell over to fix my jukebox. Very romantic.
There you go.
You want to celebrate Valentine's Day, you have Wendell Hall.
And he's
cute. And Carrie's fine with that. She really is not a fan. She feels like Valentine's Day like we do. Like it is a manufactured
holiday. It's a made-up holiday.
She doesn't care about it at all. She threatened. She said, don't do anything, because I'll just hate it. I've tried in the past.
Listen, here's the line of BS that I got from my wife. This is the one thing last night. I didn't say anything to her.
Good for you.
When I was saying to her about how... It was real nice, but let's face it, it's a manufactured holiday. And she said, I agree with you that really, as long as you are loving every day, and every day you let me know that you love me, really, there's no reason for Valentine's Day.
Right.
She is the biggest walking contradiction on her feet. That what she's just said to me is really... As long as you tell me you love me every day and you let me know every day, which I do,
right?
There really should be no reason for Valentine's Day.
Sure.
Yet she puts this incredible pressure on me.
Yes, she does.
To make Valentine's Day like Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, New Year's Eve, everything rolled into one.
Right.
So,
well, you see, Carrie is genuine with it, and I mean, she still is lobbying to have her birthday declared a national holiday. But
so birthday is the big day for her.
Yeah, she digs birthday. Like, she's like about her birthday the way I am about Christmas. I mean, she makes a huge deal about it. But Valentine's Day, it was very nice. She made a nice dinner, and Wendell got my jukebox 80% up and running.
There you go.
So the guy, though, who I think, from my discussions with him before the show yesterday, and during the show and after the show, who had possibly, in my mind, this would be the best possible Valentine's Day as Buzz. Did it work out as we had discussed?
Not at all. Are you ready for this? You'll enjoy this. You'll be entertained by the patheticness of my Valentine's Day. I didn't have a banner day yesterday for a lot of stupid little reasons. You know, nothing serious. Marcia had not slept well the night before because she was excited and a little nervous about the laser eye surgery, which was supposed to be done after the show yesterday.
That's right. She was going to have laser eye surgery after Valentine's.
You notice I said supposed to be.
Right.
I got off work and we got together to go do the laser eye surgery, and she hadn't slept and I was not in the best of moods.
So she was nervous about the procedure. That why the reason she didn't sleep?
All of those.
Right.
Both of those. A lack of sleep and nervousness. And, you know, I wasn't in the best of moods. So there was a little Valentine's Day tension there as we went to the place. And then there was some kind of paperwork problem from another doctor, some inconsistency. So the doctor who was going to do the laser eye surgery felt he didn't have the proper information and felt perhaps the patient might not be quite ready. It's a good place, so they were being careful, which we appreciate, but that it didn't happen. But by the time they determined it wasn't going to happen, they'd already given her the Xanax.
Oh, the sedation.
Yeah, and because she hadn't slept the night before, and because she'd been tense and focused on this procedure, and
because she weighs 93 pounds,
and had a Xanax, she fell asleep about 8:30.
And Buzz, again, I think that's, because I said to Buzz yesterday, that's very close to the ideal situation, I think. I said to Buzz yesterday, I said, really, you're such a lucky guy. You're going to take your wife to get this procedure. She's going to come home with these bandages over her eyes.
Right.
She's going to have to sit in a dark room by herself.
Sure.
And she's going to be doped out of her mind.
Yeah.
Which means that really Valentine's Day, is going to be...
No responsibility.
A free day for you.
I didn't feel that free and clear, though. And I also had, and I know you can relate to this guilt thing, we never give each other gifts, per se, for Valentine's Day. I did the flowers, the card, the candy, and a promise of dinner this weekend. That's all we do. We don't make too big a deal out of
and
it.
And a nice strap-on.
But and we hadn't made any dinner plans for last night because we thought she'd be incapacitated, you know, because of the laser eye surgery. So we were just going to slap something together around the house. And then we sat down to have what we'd slap together, and she presents me with an array of Valentine's Day gifts that just made me feel like crap because I had nothing to give her in return.
Oh, dear.
So, and then she fell asleep at 8:30, and then I worked on the computer, and then I went to bed. Happy Valentine's Day.
But wait, you did give her the flowers and the candy, though,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, she got those things. You know, I just felt badly.
I gave myself a Valentine's Day gift today, as a matter of fact.
Really? What's that?
Well, you know, how do I put this delicately? Because you've been such a good friend to me. I'll say this the best way I can. When a certain individual on this show bought a vehicle that was a little larger than any vehicle that he's ever owned before, as far as width is concerned, my goal has always been, because I park right next to him, to the only thing I never want to do, I don't want to hit that brand new vehicle.
No.
And I make great
chance. Did you run into my car today?
I make great pains not to hit this vehicle every single day. Some days the best case scenario is this new vehicle, this large wide vehicle. The best case scenario is that this vehicle's right rear tire will be on the yellow line, just touching it. The worst case scenario sometimes is that the right wheel sometimes is over the yellow line, but most of the time, more often than not, the right wheel of this vehicle with our very narrow parking spaces is on, sitting on the yellow line. And when I have my truck, it is beyond impossible to try to get. I mean, it takes me an incredible... When I've got my little car, I'm very, very, how shall I say, cavalier about doing this.
Did I not park totally between the lines today?
No, you did not. And I will tell you that my priority, and you should know this, my priority, for a variety of reasons, you know, friendship would be down the list. It's fear of losing one's job. You don't want to hit... You know, even though we are radio partners, you know, you are kind of, you run the show. It's kind of, I can put it this way, you don't want to hit the boss's car, okay? So my effort is always really to, you know, be very careful not to do that. And when I have a larger vehicle, it's painstaking to even be able to position my car so that I can physically get out of the car. When I have the little car, it's much more of a nonchalant attitude. However, today, a little more nonchalant than normal, as I was focusing exclusively on your car, as I'm often wont to do, and ran my car, scraped my beautiful white sports car up against the yellow pillar, when, due to my current state, I seriously, like a woman, almost burst into tears, because frankly, it was the last effing thing that I needed to go wrong.
Wow.
Is it disastrous? No, it is not. However, on the wheel well, the wide part of the car, there is a lovely yellow stripe now to match the, and you know what the feeling is? You hear the, I've got to take
uh-huh.
How do I get the windscreen over here? You hear the scraping noise that it goes across, and then you're stuck, and you know you have to go. You know you have to go forward. Because as you're backing the car and you hear... And then I'm like, oh, ass. And then you pull forward and you get... As it happens again...
How far over the line was I parked today?
It's not a question of... You know what it is? It's a question of your parking space. I'd say something to you before. You've got two, like, yellow concrete pedestals on the side. And the parking spaces... In this building, cannot possibly suck enough.
You know what,
whoever designed that parking lot was a retard.
I feel kind of, well, first I'll tell you what they did in the parking lot.
I think your tire was like on the yellow line. It's happened a million times. And I have the small car. I was doing it too fast.
First of all, in order to get more cars into the parking spot, what they did a couple of years ago was they went through and they repainted the lines.
Right.
And they made all of the spots smaller.
It's ridiculous. Right.
Second, I'd like to say when I was parking today, if the car was on the line, I blame my friends.
Yeah, we all had a fun meeting today. It was just dumb luck that Don, Buzz, Lisa, and I all arrived with 30
okay.
seconds of each other.
All right, see, if there are people down there.
As I'm backing my car.
The little meeting area down there, which I wish people would just, that's a parking garage.
It's already tough enough for me to pull that goddamn Cadillac Escalade back. Backing it into the parking spot.
I would have come to you. I would have come to you weeks ago and said, "Hey, you know, you should use this space." But there's no optimum space down there.
No. If you drive a big vehicle, you're screwed down.
You know what? This will be the third time now that I'm going to have this car in the body shop.
Twice that those pillars have gotten me.
Yeah,
I mean those are nasty.
What was the car you have? What was the car you had? A car years ago that you called your bad luck vehicle because it was constantly dinged. And
that was the Volvo.
As much as I love this car is bad luck. I have dinged this car more times. I did it yesterday in D.C. It was ridiculous.
The one that when it was delivered to you, you found a long scratch in it like the first week you had it when you were showing it off to people at that affiliate?
Yeah, no, that wasn't a long scratch. That was, I went down there when we did our show down in Ocean City.
That's right.
And there were two guys out in front.
Oh, no, that's when you took off.
You sure do have a nice car.
That's when you took off part of the front bumper.
I had driven all the way down Ocean City. Absolutely. What I just determined was that in some parking lot, because it rides low, I had gone over one of those concrete separators, pulled the car back, and it had peeled the front bumper off. So these two guys were out in front of our affiliate down in Ocean City, and they're sitting there having a cigarette, and they go, "Hey, nice car." And I'm like, I'm kind of swaggering, going, "Yeah." He said, "What's the matter with the right side of it?" And I looked over, and I see that the bumper had completely peeled off. Ooh. That was the beginning of it.
There you go. Vince, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Mike.
Hi.
Buzz.
Hey.
Sieg Heil, Rob.
Hi, friend.
Hi. Don.
Hi. Yeah.
You can be the good guy here.
You can
make Mike crumble in a puddle of relief.
I ain't paying for his car, if that's what you're going to say, because listen, I'm going to go down during the break and I'm going to see exactly how far over the line my monstrous vehicle is.
Okay.
Mike,
you're saying that in a...
Don, you can fix this.
There's a slight challenging tone.
You can fix this. You can remove the straw that took the camel's back.
What are you talking about?
Speaking in riddles.
He needs to, this was the straw that broke the camel's back, as you were saying.
Oh, Mike, this was the thing that pushed you over here.
Let me make no mistake about it. I don't care where Don's car was. I was the one that ran into this thing, and I ran into it because it was...
Punch the hotline in there.
Because his car was on the line. His vehicle was on the line.
You know what? If I had the truck, it'd be a different story. I had plenty. The reason I'm telling you that this happened is because I was just casual, because I have the smaller car. There's plenty of room for me in there.
Robbie, take over the helm. I'm going to go down to the parking lot right now.
Very good.
Call Mike, I say these things because I care.
Thank you, sir.
I want you to know that.
Hey, you know what's great about when Don leaves the studio, sir?
What's that?
You know what's really cool?
I get to hang up the phone.
I get to control the phones.
You know what you should have done?
What's that?
You should have parked at Union Station.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. So Don is now making his way down to the parking lot, and he's... Now, I have made it very clear, have I not?
Oh, you...
The reason
you
this happened is because I was just kind of nonchalant. There's plenty of room for me to park, but I think we can all agree that there's certain larger vehicles that it's very difficult. Buzz has witnessed this a couple of times.
Oh yeah, it's tough. I've scraped my car a couple of times.
I mean, it was one of those circumstances where much like a schoolgirl, I was ready to simply burst into tears.
I know that feeling.
This is the third time. I'm doing it again. I'm taking it into the body shop again. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm going to get this car fixed because I am not going to let. You get to a point sometimes, like your third or fourth ding, where you go, "Oh man, I can't deal with this anymore."
You know, it's a shame. It's a shame you actually brought this up on the air, because I was wondering if Comprehensive would cover this random act of vandalism.
you couldn't sell that as a random act of vandalism.
It looks like
there's no way somebody would have to hop into your car.
Someone's
hotline.
Calling.
Hello, caller.
Okay, all right. Listen, I'm down in the garage.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you something.
Yes.
As I look at the yellow line that separates our parking spot.
Yes.
My right rear tire.
Yes.
And that is the only part of the vehicle that is on the line.
Yes.
Is on the line for perhaps, I'm going to say, 1 inch.
Right.
On 1 inch. Lisa, come over here. Please give some independent verification.
Calling a witness.
Right.
I would say about 3/4.
3/4 of an inch, yes. Less than an inch, yes. Why don't you get another witness down there? Maybe it'll be a 1/2 inch.
Chris Owens or
an eighth of an inch.
But that way, are you mad at her?
No, not at all.
That's what she did. She gave the phone to me and she said, "You're mad at her."
No.
Mike, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
This is on you.
No, did I ever say anything but?
No, but the caller did.
Well, no, the caller did, but I, you know, and I would say that is something that
I... Hold on, Mike. Hey, stop for a second. Hey, I got some dumbass driving by. Come here for a second. Come here, DA. I'm kidding. All right, come here. Look at this situation now. Come here, look at this. Come here. All right, you're on the radio. This is my vehicle. This is Mike's vehicle. Thank you very much. Now, how far over the line do you think I am?
You're about an inch, maybe an inch and a half.
Over the yellow line?
No, not over. You're on the yellow line. You're not over the yellow line. You're on the yellow line. About an inch.
And now ask him, how fat would the yellow line be? How would he estimate?
Okay, hold on. Here's the
width.
Question.
Yeah.
Hold on. First, what we'd like to know, Mike, I am one, how far over am I?
An inch and a half.
And let's find out the width of the yellow line.
About 4 inches.
We have
75 inches.
It is.
Rob,
all right, Mike.
Rob said it's 75 inches.
No, Wendell came down with a tape measure.
Yes.
The yellow line is 6 inches in width.
Wow.
Right.
My tire is 1 1/4 inch on my side of the yellow line.
And your point is?
That I am not at fault here.
Yes.
And furthermore, I'm looking at your car now.
Yes.
It's not as bad as you said.
Did you look on the right side?
No, that's where I'm looking.
Yeah, it's on the...
No, it looks like... it just looks like Dennis's underpants.
Yeah, I know.
And there's a very small, almost unnoticeable spot. Let me put the listener on. Here's Mike. Tell Mike what you think about the damage to his car.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Mike, this is not bad at all, man. This is...
Okay, hey,
this
sir.
This can be taken care of with a little bit of nail polish, I think.
A little nail polish.
Oh, yeah, that's
sure.
The way.
Use red.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it's no problem. No,
you know what?
I can take care of this right now if you want.
That's a fine idea, sir, but I'm going to pass on that one. But if I take care of it at the place that I usually have the work done, do you want to pay for it?
No, I think I'll let you take care of that one.
Okay.
Nice car, though, Mike.
Thank you.
Very nice. I might have to take this for a little spin.
Hey, nice. Put Don on the phone, dumbass.
Okay.
Is this Don on the phone? Okay.
Hi, Mike.
Who the F is that?
That's just some listener that was driving by.
Just driving by what, our parking lot?
Just some listener
that was on the private property driving through the building.
He was driving by the radio station. He heard us on the radio.
Right.
He heard that I was down here. He came by. I thought it would be stop touching Mike's car. I thought it would be an unbiased opinion.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, we have now spotted the pole that, in fact, you hit. It's the front pole.
Yes.
The front pole, and...
Does it have white on it?
Yes. I think Wendell's coming down now to scrape some of the white off so that you may keep it as a memento.
Tell Wendell that won't be necessary.
That won't be necessary, Wendell. That won't be necessary. And for some reason, Broyhill's down here now, and
yes.
Tom is down here now.
Everybody's down there now.
That's great.
And now this has become some kind of a scene. So
it's a circus.
Let's just go to call. No, listen, don't box that up for Mike. Mike doesn't want that boxed up. You know, Mike, here's Wendell. Wendell, what did you want to do?
We were going to put it in a little presentation box and give it back to you.
Hey, Wendell.
Yeah.
That won't be necessary, but thank you.
Sure. Sure, not exactly Angela Bassett's, but...
Right, exactly. Hey, Wendell, I think that is significant body work that I'll have to have done, though.
I'm not an expert on that sort of thing. You see my car.
Can't win, Rob. Can't win.
You can't?
No, I can't say that it's going to cost me a lot to fix the car. You know,
Mike?
Yes, sir.
Mike, seriously. Oh,
what?
Steve Goldstein. Bye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
I seriously think if someone came down today before the end of the show
yes.
with a can of this stuff that I got at home, it's called Oops.
No effing way.
I'm telling you.
There is no way. I will explain to you in great detail the paint matching endeavor that it takes on that particular color of car.
Can't just use white.
No.
It's not like, you know, why don't we have somebody go to Home Depot and get some latex?
No. All I'm saying is all the Oops will do is take off the yellow and orange.
You know what? You do have a point about the fact that it might be more yellow on my car than white. And, you know, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Somebody doing that. That actually might clean it up a little bit.
I'm telling you that I've used this stuff like when I've...
backed into stuff myself.
But do you know, excuse me, you know, I have to tell you that the whole time, just for the sake of argument here, I am not blaming you for the fact that I ran into that pole. I am blaming myself because I was too casual about it, but I always do. You will admit that the nature of our parking spaces, and when you are on the line, that it is something where you have to be very careful how you pull into the parking lot.
Yes, but an inch and a quarter would not be a major rule violation.
It wouldn't be a rule violation if you weren't driving the Titanic.
I can't help it.
It's a huge behemoth of a vehicle.
Biggest car GM builds.
Is it the biggest car GM builds?
I think, yes.
The car is, I'll do the, come here, Wendell, give me a hand on this. I'll tell you how wide the car is right now. And then we got a break. Mike, the car is 6 feet 2 inches wide.
That's like me.
There you go. Yeah, the car is.
The car is Rob's height.
Okay, car is Rob's height.
And similar in weight.
I'm coming back up, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye, then. Take us to spots, Mike.
So the bottom line is here, you know, that I scraped my car on the thing, and, you know, the bottom line is I was making the effort, as I always do, not to hit Don's wide vehicle, and now we have to break for spots, and I think I've made my point, whatever. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.